My name is Jasmine of Chartreuse. I'm 16 years old. Today is February 25th, 2022, and I'm interviewing my grandfather. You can introduce yourself.
I am Douglas Talley, the grandfather.
Okay, let's start. Can you tell me about where you grew up and what it was like?
Where I grew up, it was in Memphis, Tennessee. More specifically, it was in North Memphis. Well, at that time, it was known as North Memphis. And we were in a pretty good neighborhood because it was a very low populated neighborhood. And all the neighbors knew everybody, knew the kids, knew what the parents expected of each of the kids from each home. When the parents went to work, we kids thought we were home free to do what we wanted, but the neighbors spanked us. Then told our parents when they got home and we got spanked again. Yeah, we actually laugh at it still, Jazz. But overall, it was a good childhood. We walked to school every day. It was only maybe a 15-minute walk, and that's really taking your time. Nothing really fretful that really happened to us. You know, you have the occasional neighborhood bully, but you know, your brothers and sisters gang up on them and teach them a lesson. But nothing compared to today, that's a fact. So I would live it again if I had the opportunity.
What were your grandparents and parents like?
My grandparents I never met. They were not available for us at that time. They had passed on, unfortunately. But we did know their names. My father's granddad was Walter. My mother was Martha. Mary. And we had one of his aunts, one of his sisters living with us at that time. She was of age, sickly. She had cancer, something was wrong with her. I was very young, but I was still young when she passed on from cancer. So it was like, you know, she's here, she's gone. My parents were typical parents of that time. You know, we weren't rich, we weren't poor. You know, we had our paycheck every week, we ate, we had no stresses of that time that we knew of. Of course, you ask my parents that, they would probably say something different. But we always had food. Other kids around us did not, and my dad took note of that and always challenged us that when we saw someone hungry to, you know, offer them something. But overall, even the kids were pretty much modeled kids, you know, even though they didn't have a lot, the surrounding kids didn't have a lot, and we didn't have that much more, but we seemed to dress better than they did and had better manners for some reason. I guess because better manners, they were allowed to run wild around the neighborhood, and we were not, because Dad and Mom kept watch over us. Don't wander too far. If you go too far, I'm gonna spank you. So there's always that fear factor there. So that kept us in line. And so we were rather mindful kids for the most part. But what the parents didn't know, once they went to work, in the summertime, we were a wild bunch. But we always knew our boundaries away from home. Because you don't want to get in trouble away from home and they found out about it, then you really get in trouble. But my parents were actually great. They were actually great. They did what they could when they could and took care of us. No complaints.
Can you tell me about what you do for a living?
You know I'm retired now.
What you did.
Yeah, sure. What I did for a living was, I had a top secret SCI clearance, which is top secret, but secret compartmental something, SCI, secret compartmental information or something to that effect. A clearance involves handling classified information. So my job entailed me handling classified information. And what I would do is write reports. I would analyze the data and write up communication protocol reports about what the U.S. government needs for their day-to-day operations. I would do a lot of interaction with other people of other departments. You wind up sending a lot of emails having a lot of meetings, go a lot of places, and a couple of times had the chance to go overseas. And that was the pinnacle, actually, of working in with the Department of Defense, which is who my boss's group, the umbrella department was, the Department of Defense. And it was a golden opportunity, and I really enjoyed it. It was very stressful, but it was positive stress, I guess it's safe to say, because I enjoyed the work, but it's still stressful because, you know, people get demanding, generals and secretaries of different departments, you know, they come down to my boss and say, you know, I need some data. They pound their fists. And, you know, but again, seeing what happens behind the scene of our country, I got to see a lot of things and experience a lot of things that the average person has no idea what's going on in the background. That's the phenomenal part about it. And I can honestly say, now that I'm retired, I'm glad I'm away from it, because it was stressful. And it's not healthy to work in a stressful environment consistently. Because I had a lot of medical issues creeping up. Not major, just minor stuff kept creeping up. And when I retired, they all went away. And I went away because my doctor kept recommending, you come in, complain. I tell you what to do. Change your job. Go away. And when I got the opportunity, I went away. But I would do it again. I would work for him again if I started over again. Yeah. Because it was beautiful. Your government behind the scene. You'd be surprised what goes on. And I saw things there are other people that are seeing things that I had not the opportunity to see, but those were morbid things, you know, like looking down range via satellite and seeing a target and sending a missile in. Whoa. To me, that's morbid. Mm-hmm. Okay, but all I did was supply data, and whoever needed that data would get it and do whatever they needed to do with it. So I was like the middleman. So, but yes, I would do it again. It was fun. It was fulfilling, should I say, because it's something that no one else could have done. And that was a learned environment, believe it or not. You can't be trained for that. You have to learn it. And that's probably why I don't have a lot of problems with learning new things. Like even now, I'm still trying to learn new things and do new things. Mm-hmm. And people know that, and they still keep calling me, like the Puerto Rico thing. So, but yeah, I would do it again. I enjoyed it. Did I miss something?
Nope. Oh, okay. What did you think that you were going to be when you grew up?
A pilot.
Pilot.
Airplane pilot. That was my goal as a childhood. That's my childhood goal. yeah, didn't make it. I got distracted, but I'm not complaining.
Mm-hmm. Did segregation affect your life or your family's life in any way?
I would say segregation affected my family's life in a small way. Even though we lived right in the middle of the civil rights movement, as far as protesters and community community store burnings and whatnot and rioting, I mean, we were right in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. But they never touched our home. I mean, nothing ever happened to our home. Nothing ever happened to us physically. But again, my parents and our school teachers, should I say our school staff protected us from that chaos, surprisingly. Even though the rioters would walk past our school, come onto our campus and rah, 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 make all kinds of noise, teachers would say, kids, sit down, close the windows, and we didn't have air conditioning. And this was like spring, summer. They'll say, sit down and let's learn, because looking out there or going out there, you're not going to learn anything, which was really wrong for them to say that, because that was our democracy at work, people fighting for civil rights. But, you know, ignorance is blissful at times, but I think ultimately they were trying to protect us, because there's always bad eggs in every bunch. And I think that's what they were probably trying to protect us from, those bad eggs. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. But overall, it didn't affect us that much because we weren't hurting for anything. No one was denying us any food or not allowing us to shop anywhere. We pretty much went everywhere we wanted to go. Of course, there were like certain neighborhoods that were obviously white, and our neighborhood was black, but it wasn't like we couldn't walk through there or shop there. So no one prevented us from doing anything that we wanted to do as a free citizen. Mm-hmm. But we knew the fight was there, yes. We knew the fight was ongoing, but it was being handled mostly in the political arena. And I think that was a good thing. Because matter of fact, that was the only way you could have handled it to obtain results. And eventually we did get results and you move on. But I think the fight's back now, again, at the political level. But here we go again. That's why history is important to know, in my opinion.
What advice would you give your younger self or children in the future?
Oh, yes, vote. Pay attention to the political process and vote your conscience, because if you don't, somebody else will, and you will be forced to follow because you did not vote your conscience. So it's important to make known not your political ambitions to be a politician, but just to vote your conscience. So the politicians can know, oh, we have so many people with these political views in mind, blah, blah, blah. So that would keep the politicians in check. And furthermore, I would say to the kids and to myself, if I had to repeat it again, continue to educate yourselves, explore your mind and grow your mind at the same time. Meaning feed yourself data by going to school, feed yourself information by going to school, but put that data to use. Challenge yourself, you know, ask yourself challenging questions and write about it, talk about it. You know, 10 focus groups, talk to your family. Always try to yearn for more, and ultimately treat people the way you want to be treated. hopefully in a positive way. So what do you think? That's it.
Yeah. That was good.
That was good?
Yeah.
That's how I feel.